You have extensive background in this work, and it's taken you in other parts of the world. Tell us a little bit about that and how you hope to bring that to the Western New York region.
I have a background in research, and actually my formal background is in herpetology. I'm somewhat of an expert on reptiles and amphibians of Central America, and have traveled and lived and worked extensively all through Central America, initially just working on better understanding the ecology, the biology of these very poorly known animals in a relatively poorly known part of the world. But over the years, also starting to become more and more aware of the plight of some of these animals. And in recent decades, there's been an outbreak of a fungal disease that has been spreading all over the planet and has been decimating amphibian populations worldwide. So sort of as an extension of the work that I initially started, really sort of a straight-up ecologist, straight-up biologist, I've more and more become involved in conservation biology and in conservation of habitats and species that are suddenly struggling. And a large part of that is also involving other people in this kind of work, exposing other people beyond academia to the phenomena that I'm experiencing out there. I often ended up working in places that were very poorly known, that were not often seen by other people. So I always felt that it was sort of my responsibility to not only try to learn much about these systems and these animals and these plants and these habitats, but also try to spread the word about how important these are for the planet and for everybody, even for people who don't necessarily live right there. So that kind of work is sort of, or that thread is sort of carried through my work. And after I came to the U.S., I ended up doing similar work currently here in Connecticut, where I'm working a lot on habitat restoration and preservation of these at-risk species. A lot of habitats are currently at risk because of all kinds of different factors, often related to land use and historic land use. So, again, we're trying to better understand how we can make our current environment work under the constraints that we have with the people living here, the different site uses. Everybody would like to be outside. There are different ways people enjoy their environment, and there's also the responsibility for people to be good stewards of the environment, and sometimes these different site uses and desires and plans with different habitats are not always compatible, so we're often trying to sort of juggle these different needs.
In looking at Jamestown itself, any one particular animal, bird, project that will be your main goal when you step into this new leadership role?
I think a lot of the focus initially will be on birds. That was sort of the driving force behind Dr. Peterson's work as well. And birds are actually really good as environmental indicators. There are a few things about birds that actually make them really good study subjects for that, because obviously they can move. They go to places where the conditions are right. So if you find certain birds, especially if you find them for a longer period, and ideally if you find them breeding in a certain area, that tells you something about the environment there. If the conditions aren't right, if the right food is not there, if the right shelter is not there, these birds will just spread their wings and fly away and go elsewhere. So the fact that they can do that and still decide to stay in certain areas tells you something about that particular environment, that the conditions are just right for these particular species. So it's a good almost to get a quick assessment of a certain habitat when you find certain kinds of species of birds there. And the other thing about birds, too, is that the people love birds. So it's a really good organism to use to sort of bridge the gap with the environment and people who appreciate the environment in different ways. It's much harder to do the same thing with mosquitoes, for example. It's hard to find people getting excited about mosquitoes in their environment.
Is this a good time to have attention toward your efforts and the work that something like the Peterson Institute conducts? Because people are now so aware, especially the younger generations up and coming, are very aware of preserving and taking care of our environment in hopes that we will do a better job in the future.
I'm definitely hoping so. And obviously that's something that everybody's hoping for. But at the same time, you also hear a lot about how our current generation of younger children is more and more isolated and more separated from the natural world. Here in Connecticut, for example, we have major issues with ticks and Lyme disease, and things like that tend to have parents worry about their children going out into the environment, and I have to admit, in some places, it's pretty bad. It's hard to even go outside and enjoy it without constantly worrying that you might pick up a disease that might be with you for a while. So those are real problems, and those are also factors that we have to be really aware of. And there are obviously some risks involved in this, but it's also very easy to hyper-focus on certain risks in the environment. I think it's much more important right now to really focus on sort of the positive aspects and the positive experiences that the children have in the environment that they often don't enjoy anymore nowadays. So I think that by reaching out to a whole variety of different audiences, I think it's going to be really important for the Roger Torrey Peterson Institute to sort of promote the positive message of the environment, to enjoy the environment, to learn from the environment, and the more you know about it, the more you respect it, the more you understand it, the easier it will be and the more logical it will be to protect it.
Well, Dr. Leenders, we look forward to hearing about you and your work here in this region.
Thank you very much.